In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Festivals cover a wide span of human gathering, and one of their beauties is that they offer benefits in addition to their advertised purpose. A religious festival can lead to a meeting which leads to a marriage. A cattle show can bring about a good swap of recipes for fruitcakes. And an arts festival can bring together two or three strangers who discover a shared passion for restoring furniture. You know the point I'm making. Three great gatherings come to mind as I meditate on gatherings and festivals. One is the great Hindu festival Kumbh Mela. Every 3 years, millions of people gather in a rotating series of four places, once every 12 years in each of them. They bathe in the river Ganges, and the purpose of it all is the cleansing of the soul. Festivals may involve thinking and believing to a greater or less extent, but what festivals certainly involve is doing, moving, engaging, whether or not they culminate in dipping in the Ganges. Then there is the Hajj, the annual pilgrimage of Muslims to Mecca, once in a lifetime if possible for each of them, and millions are involved in that too. Devotion to the Prophet and to God is expressed in ritual movement shared in crowds around the sacred places revered for all these centuries. The doing of it is a testimony of faith and faithfulness, and the manner in which these things are done is intended to bear witness to the goodness and peacefulness expected of Islamic people. Festivals have the capacity to combine anchorage in the past with openness to the future, so long as fidelity to the spirit is not equated with replication of the detail. Then we think of Pope Francis' recent visit to Brazil and to the final Mass when 3 million young people assembled on Copacabana Beach and heard his call to them to bear witness to their Christian faith and to care for those in need. Festivals are not alternatives to ordinary living. Papal Masses with 3 million are not alternatives to going to the local church Sunday by Sunday. A great festival of the arts goes well with and not at all against the concert in the village hall or reading a good book on a train. There are psalms known as psalms of ascent, associated with pilgrimages made by Hebrew people to Jerusalem, going up to celebrate the great festivals. I was glad when they said unto me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord," Psalm 122, sung by pilgrims as they approached Jerusalem, or possibly by the priests as the pilgrims climbed the temple steps. Occasional occasions have always mattered, and there can be something oppressive about demanding that a religious life has an endless series of Sundays, each identical to the ones before and after it. The boy Jesus was lost at the age of 12 when his parents went with a large group to Jerusalem to keep the Passover festival. And Jesus was found sitting with the religious teachers, both hearing them and asking them questions. Festivals are good opportunities for learning and for asking questions. It seems to me that religious practice is more important than religious ideas or opinions or beliefs. For Christian people through the centuries, going to church has been more fundamental than having the right thoughts about God. I would even suggest that doctrines are an abstraction from practice, rather than practice being an expression or consequence of doctrines or belief. Religion is more a matter of what we do and less a matter of what I think. thinking about festivals helps me in that direction. Let me try to say what I mean. It is surely the case that for many people, belief is primary, practice secondary. Not that they think practice is unimportant, but that it is a consequence of believing. I would like to suggest that that is not our only option, and that for most of our Christian ancestors, it was not their option. The alternative option is that the primary element in Christian believing is action, both the action of worship, going to church, and also the action of daily living. Instead of saying that you get your ideas and convictions straight and then go to church if your beliefs justify church going, I am saying that you can engage in the practice of church going and think about your personal opinions as a consequence of your church going, and not always an essential consequence. Like the great festivals of the world's religions, the practice, the shared ritual, the doing of things bodily and earthy, these things are for many of our forebears and for many of us still today quite primary. When people say to me, as they sometimes do, that for them faith is personal, individual, even private, I tend to react by suggesting that that is not the only way of looking at the matter, and for many, not the most important way. Central to the position I am holding is the Holy Communion, the ritual act given by Jesus as the way of bearing witness to him, the way of expressing the meaning of his life and especially of his cross. He gave his followers not statements of doctrine or philosophical conclusions, but the custom of doing things with things, taking and sharing and consuming bread and wine. We may tend to assume that what matters is what we believe about the Holy Communion, how we understand it. But I suggest that what matters is that we do it. The Christian Church at the present time might do well to think more widely about the attitudes and customs of the past, and especially those we share with the other major world religions. And the word festival suggests for me deeply significant elements of journey and pilgrimage, ritual and ceremony, symbol and sign, movement and art.